the resurrection. And there's some amazing things to try to comprehend. It's out of what I can figure out and understand because of our limited knowledge. What the scriptures say is that on the resurrection day that our bodies will be raised from the grave. And it's not going to be somebody else's body, but it's going to be your body. And it's going to be my body. And, you know, one of the great things about Christianity and heaven that we talk about is that we're going to recognize each other. Well, how in the world are we going to recognize each other if we don't look like we did? The only thing that's confusing to me is I don't know how old we're going to be. Are we going to be old and gray-headed, middle-aged, or a teenager? But you know, all of those ages are nearly immaterial because, you know, people can see pictures of me when I was a kid or middle-aged or like elderly now. And, you know, everybody says, oh, that's Mike. And you can recognize them. Or you can be up in DFW just walking down the carousel and you can see somebody from San Angelo that you know. And all them hundreds and hundreds of people there. And you say, well, I know that guy. He's from San Angelo. Well, that's what's going to happen to our body. The Bible is amazing with some details that just don't come to our minds automatically. But it's what is going to happen. And what is really amazing to me is I don't know how many people have been born and died since Adam and Eve. But there's billions and billions, I guess. Some are at the bottom of the sea. Some are blown up to pieces that you can't even find. And yet God has promised that on that day when he returns and when those that are alive will never die, but those that are in the graves are dead, that they will be transformed and their spirit will be rejoined with their body, their physical body. And when this takes place, you know, the Bible says it's going to be pretty quick. It says it's all going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Everybody will be changed. And of course, that's a pretty tall order to comprehend, but so is some of the first chapter of Genesis, where he just said, and he put the stars in the heavens. You know, and how many millions and billions of light years do they think it is to some of these stars? And yet God just waved his hand and it was so. And you know, he did all that great creation from the greatest, biggest things to the smallest. You know, it wasn't trial and error either. It was perfect when he got through it because he said it was good. And last time I was speaking on this, I had 6 or 8 verses here that kind of show what's going to happen or explains things along this line. In Job 19 and 26, Job is talking about there that when I die, he says, I will see him in my flesh, and my eyes shall be told him. That's explaining that Job had the confidence that he knew that his body was going to be resurrected, just like the Lord was resurrected on that day. And you remember how he came to his disciples and apostles, and they thought it was a ghost. But he said, "No, it's me." He said, "Feel it." He said, "See these holes in my side?" And, you know, doubting Thomas, you don't have to stick his hand in there before he was convinced. But whatever happened to Jesus in that resurrected body, the Bible says that we also will have a resurrected body. And in heaven, it will be a glorious body. We won't have to wear dentures or hearing aids or glasses. We won't have any health problems. And we will live forever. And we know that here upon this earth, that what? The blood, it says, is the life of the body. That's how we exist. We have to eat and drink water and breathe oxygen and air. And all of these functions are necessary for our physical bodies to exist. The blood carries the nutrients, and all of those things that make life possible here upon this earth. But when we die and are resurrected, the Bible says that blood can't enter heaven. And so what's the deal? Well, the Bible says that the Spirit gives life to our body. And that's why we won't need to eat or get cold or be too hot. Everything will be just perfect in heaven. And Matthew 10:28 says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both spirit and body in hell." We know that it's a terrible thing to get murdered or have a car wreck. But what Matthew is stating, it's terrible to have the idea that God can destroy both our spirit and our bodies in hell. And this doesn't mean annihilation, but it means everlasting punishment. And all men can kill is just this old fleshly body, but God is able to put our physical bodies that are transformed, that they can endure. This is spooky to me. He's going to transform our bodies so that they can endure eternal hell. You know, think about those passages, you know, where the worm dies not, and the unquenchable fires, and all of those terrible things that we can conceive. Well, our bodies will be able to tolerate this, but the pain and the suffering will be there. It's just like that burning bush that was up there when Moses went up the mountain. You know, it was on fire, but it wasn't consumed. Didn't burn up. We light a tree or a bush on fire, it catches fire, and what happened? It's going to burn to the ground. But in Gehenna hell, because we're going to have our body and our spirit together for eternity, and that body is going to be subject to everything that's possibly imagined that is evil and bad. And of course, on the opposite side of this, our physical bodies are going to be transformed that they're perfect. And what a great day that will be. And to enjoy the wonderful bliss of heaven. And that burning bush passage, I think it's over there in the Exodus 3 somewhere, where that really took place. But Mark 12 and 27, it says there that he was arguing with those old Jewish leaders, and he was telling them that God is not the God of the dead, but God is the God of the living. And he was talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Man, that's hundreds and hundreds and thousand years ago before Mark wrote these words. And so it implies a living situation. And you know, we have that example of Lazarus and the rich man, that account that was given, you know, and that is what is called that intermediate state, or that it's where our spirits go until the judgment day. You know, and one of them is the good compartment, and one of them is the bad. one of them is called Abraham's bosom. It's where the poor man was at. And the rich man, he was in maybe like Tartarus, where you are still punished. But it's not nothing like what Gehenna hell is going to be after the judgment. And I often wondered about why the rich man flesh and blood body, where a drop wouldn't do a thing, you'd have to have a quart or two to make any difference. But maybe a drop would just cool him for a second. That's the only thing I can figure out. But anyway, let's move on. Matthew 27, 51 to 53. And this is something I've never heard talked about much. I think I mentioned it a long time ago. But it says in verse 51, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." Remember, this is when Jesus on the cross at Calvary, and he died, and then on the third day, he was resurrected, and it says in verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had died were raised, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to men." If something was to happen and we'd see them coming around here, well, what would we think? Well, that's what happened in Jerusalem after Jesus' resurrection. And I can't think of a clearer description of any kind of bodily resurrection than the graves opened and the bodies came out of the graves. It wasn't a skeleton. It was them people that they knew. It wasn't Isaiah or Jacob or somebody, you know, they didn't even know. It was friends and relatives and acquaintances to give the emphasis to it. when he was resurrected from the grave, the same thing is going to happen to us, is what Romans 8:11 said. His mortal body came back, and that's what's going to happen to us. See, 1 Corinthians 15:42. And it says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And of course, we know 1 Corinthians 15 is referred to as the resurrection chapter because it deals with a lot of these things. And then it says, the body is sown in corruption and it is raised in incorruption. The body is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body and it is raised a spiritual body. And so whatever this is, being buried is what is raised. And you know it says, notice that verse 44, that it is raised a spiritual body. It's not a spirit body. Because Jesus said over there, look at me, I'm flesh and bones. Because a spirit doesn't have a body. But a spiritual body is different because what that is that what is given the power for us to be raised from the dead. And and 1 Corinthians 15:50 says about this blood deal. He says, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so, but guess what? Flesh and bones can't. Because why? It doesn't have any blood in it, but the Spirit gives it life. Now I quit right there. There's some more stuff, but anybody got any comments or questions?
Well, it's just, right there in Matthew 2, weren't souls or spirits, it was their actual body.
Yes.
Yeah. Blood and the raised to heaven after.
It did. It was flesh and bones, from natural death eventually. Yes. Had to. Just like anybody else.
So you think after they were coming out of the grave and when the event was over, they went back into the grave?
I think they stayed alive, just in my personal opinion, until they died again.
Yeah.
I don't know. They could have been young, they could have been old, you know, they might have lived a year, a day, or 10 years, who knows? But the point was that whatever happened to them dead people is going to happen to us. That's why it's in the Bible. And that's what happened to Jesus.